to our Backstage Pass chat. Many of you may be new to this phenomenon, this feature. Many of you may be new to the... In just one week, we'll be giving this away. Does he look fey? Does he look strange? Does he frighten you? Frightens me. Well, let's get our chat going here. Good evening, everybody. It's nice to be with you here on this Friday night from the West Coast, from the El Pacifico, which we lovingly call the El Pacifico. I see all kinds of cats are on with us. James Kaufman, Leslie, Nathan Smith, Allie. Allie, I want to tell you, you are never a bother, Allie, when you're giving me the information on what you've been able to dig up. Mike Nickus, Paul, Paulie from Jay-Z. We got Tony is with us, and Bonnie is here, of course, and I thought I saw Sheila. A number of fine. Edward is here. Yosemite, beautiful man. By the way, I talked to, Creed Bratton. Edward, you might be interested in this. Creed Bratton of The Office is a wonderful chap, and this cat was raised in the shadow of the Sierra Nevadas in Yosemite. He, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, this dude, Creed Bratton from The Office, was... what the fuck is up with this man anyway? Oh, I see. Sorry. He was raised... the doll is messed up, Bonnie. There's no question. Colby Jack is joining us. He thinks Margaret just hit Phil with a spit wad. That's exactly what happened. I want to thank you, Allie, again, for your legwork. And don't ever feel like you're bothering me. Don't ever feel like, you know, there's a lot of shit that's happening here. Those of you who don't know, Allie and Jesse is with us here. And we are live, Christopher. What you have to do is, if you haven't already, you need to go to the homepage. You have to be logged in. Obviously, you'd be logged in because you have the chat feature up. And then you have to click on the post there, and you will see the whole thing, man. So, again, I don't want Allie to feel as if she is, bothering me or anybody. We have... what did you enjoy, Edward, about the Science of the Funny episode, man? Tell me, if you wouldn't mind. I'd like to know. I'd like to get some feedback on that. Because we've just concluded our fifth episode. Was it our fifth? Sixth episode. And I had in studio yesterday, I really had a blast yesterday. We had Mo Collins from Mad TV, and Mo has done, since then, a number of things. And she's now been cast in the Maria Bamford show, the new Maria Bamford show. I don't know what it's going to be called. And also Alex Rubens, one of the nicest guys, one of the most down-to-earth nice guys you ever met in your life. And I tell you, he is a producer writer on Community. He's a producer writer on Key and Peele, which is transcendently funny. I don't know if you haven't seen Key and Peele, you have to. It's fucking hysterical, man. It's a great show. Adam, you're asking, have I ever considered going to satellite radio? Yes, I have. The problem with satellite radio is, like a lot of radio now, it is a shared revenue thing. And what do I mean by that? I mean, they demand 3 hours of your time a day, and for that, you're going to be only paid on the basis of how much advertising revenue they can muster up. You're really at the mercy, more at the mercy, of a sales department than ever before. And I don't want to do that, man. I would rather be able to... I would rather devote my time to other things. And, for instance, having a website, a subscription base, and being focused on my subscribers as much as I possibly can is far preferable to doing a radio show that would be of limited scope, not so much limited reach, but limited scope because of the fact that satellite radio is very strange. What you're asking people to do is pay, then they are there, and the caller base is fucked up, and we found that out from Art Bell's experience. Art left satellite radio almost as fast as he got there because it was completely effed over. Ober. Sarge asks, what has Allie been doing? She's been doing a lot, Sarge, and I know you're kidding. Key and Peele is amazing, Allie. They are ending? What do you mean it's ending? I just talked to the season's ending. I just talked to Alex Rubens yesterday, and they've got another season coming up, I thought. Allie is our star, but all of you guys are, all of you guys are great. Anyway, so I've, you know, do appreciate that. And any of the help that you guys give us as we plan HendryCon for the spring of 2016. Again, for the spring of 2016. Friends of mine are in Las Vegas as we speak, looking over the lay of the land, trying to get arrested there in that promenade by the Las Vegas PD, trying to make it onto an episode of Cops Reloaded. I don't know if they'll be successful. I'm only fucking around. All right, so there's that. And while we can continue to talk about that, I want to update you guys on my, and I am looking here at the board answering any questions you guys want, or I could just talk and you guys can chat among yourselves, which I think is frankly cool. I like that. I like that you're getting to know each other. Tony says, Art stated his new internet radio show, Midnight in the Desert, seems to be going well for him, hasn't really changed. Good. Sarge, you probably heard me on XM back when they were not a part of the Sirius Radio network. Good question, Mike asks, is there anybody but Stern making any money as far as talent goes on satellite? I have to believe that Opie and Jim are making money. I gotta believe that. They're favored there, as well they should be. You know, again, what we're talking... And I think, also, I happen to know that Stephanie Miller's making money. How much money, I don't know. But Howard is under contract and is guaranteed a certain amount of money per year. I don't know if that's the same deal that Stephanie Miller has. It may be the same deal that Opie and Anthony have. There's two ways you can go with this shit. Steven says, the best part is getting the data on what it takes to pay your dues as a comic. You're welcome. And, you don't have to call me Mr. Henry, Steven. You could say Phil, if you'd like. Very, very nice of you to call me Mr. Henry. Arrested in Vegas is your favorite thing ever, says Allie. Besides, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, let me tell you something about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas sex. So, once again, the filth is kicked off by Allie. All right. I'm kidding. Allie, I know that you're a very demure and lovely young lady. Now, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure she is. Let me just remind you, this is what... if you're a new BSP, all BSPs will be in the running for this, whatever. Is Elcott based on Roy Masters? Leslie, it's a good question, but no, I think Elcott is a general, is a general sort of character that I got from watching television, really, and some of those self-help tapes, and just those overall kind of bullshit tone that a lot of those new age cats take. Who's the guy in Arizona that almost killed all those people, or did kill some people, with that tent? It's not really him, because he's more like a salesman, you know. But it really, what's that guy's name? Ray? Stephen Ray? Elcott is more like some of the real far out, way, way out there, intergalactic sort of Christian guys like Oil Jaggers and cats like that. Paul says, maybe Ron Bennington's making money. He does a good job if anyone wants to check that show out, Bennington on Raw Dog. That's very possible too, Paul. I don't know. But I can tell you that there's a revenue sharing model. Is this fan bothering you guys? Because I can turn it off. It's just fucking hotter than shit in here. Sheila, I thought you were here. What did you do, leave? We just saw Sheila check in because I saw you earlier, and there's Tony with, he says he missed here. So, Paul, you got a brother there in Tony, so the two of you guys can get together on the whole Elcott thing. Elcott was on our show this past week saying that he's in big trouble because people are, filth is Allie's middle name. I mean, it's Diana, but you get what I mean. Well, that's all the information we need, young lady. Mr. Henry, you're right on the money. Vegas is great. And like I said, some friends of mine just took off for Vegas. And I love the desert in the summer. So the heat is just, I don't give a shit, man. I don't care how hot it gets. God, I got to get me some desert in the summertime. Doesn't have to necessarily be Vegas, but Vegas is good because there's lots of other shit happening. But, you know, where was I? I forget. I was going to talk to you about my brother, Dara. Elcott. So, Paul and Tony, you cats are, you know, you guys are Elcott brothers in arms. Elcott this past week was on the show. He is in deep trouble because he appeared to believe in the existence of Yoda, which actually one would think it would be a good thing in Elcott the Next Step, but it's actually a bad thing. People think that he's, weird. Paul says, nope. Rather you be comfy. I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for your air conditioning and studio. No, it's great. Vegas is great, says Tony. Glad the gathering is happening there. Yes, Vegas is the place. And what Allie has been doing for us is just checking out sort of the lay of the land. And I do want that information, Allie. I just simply I don't want to put it all on you, okay? We definitely need to organize this from sort of where we are right here. But any info that you give us is a plus. I signed with a new voiceover agent this week. I'm very, very happy to be with AVO. Sandy Schnarr is a longtime voiceover agent here in L.A., and to be on board with her and Paul and George and everybody and Rebecca over there is tremendous. Just did a read for, just auditioned for a animated series for a character that is like a gunslinger with a disfigured face, which is right up my alley. And I've done a couple of other things, but... excited to be with those guys. Really wonderful people. And Allie is asking, how is my brother? It's not too personal, Allie. Thank you for asking. My brother, Dara, is having some serious complications as the result of angioplasty that was engaged or was performed because he has diabetes. And Dara was not taking care of that. And as a result, he was getting some blockage, some, whatever you call that, man, clotting or something, or blockage, and the blood wasn't reaching his legs, so they had to get some blood flowing. As a result of that, he had a further complication. He went, there was a code blue, at that point, then Daryl was put into ICU, intensive care, which is where I've been seeing him, and my sisters are there, and... Dara's touch and go, man. You know, he's the oldest sibling, and he's up there, man. He's 72 now. You know, it's amazing to think that Dara's actually 72, because this cat was a very vital guy and has been a very vital guy his whole life. And my Allie asks, who was my old voiceover agent? Well, I was with Abrams for a while, and but that was kind of hit. It was just sort of for a few months, and I, not that they don't send you on, they send you a lot of auditions to do, and I could not handle the volume of auditions. And at the time I was with TRN doing a radio show, I was getting up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because of the late night show, and the auditions had to be into Abrams by 4 o'clock, so there was no way, man. Jesse's asking, is there a video stream or not, or text only? Jesse, first time signing in. Jesse, yeah, go to the stream, go to the post on the homepage. You're going to see a place to log in. You'll see it. It's just below all of the index of shows, and you will see it. Thank you, Paul. I saw him, and he was conscious when I saw him last Saturday. He has been very heavily sedated since then, and he has not, been as responsive as we'd like him to be because of the sedation. We're going to do some other things to help his breathing. The problem is he got pneumonia, okay? So you got diabetes, you have the complications from angioplasty, and then he got pneumonia. He also has a systemic infection. You know, Dara's having a hard time, man. You know, he's struggling, but he's fighting. And the cat's a fighter. We're with him, man. And I do what I can in terms of my whole spiritual trip to help him out. But I'm, hoping that Dara's with us for a long time because, but my sister Marianne says, I don't want to make fun of Marianne, but she says, whatever happens, in terms of the whole karma thing, happens. So that's kind of what's been taking up some of the time, and I didn't want to bitch about it, but we're at the El Pacifico. We're a good 50 miles from downtown L.A. There's another 30 miles to go to the Valley and then come back to do the show, and or go to the Valley and then go into L.A. for business and then come back here. And it can just take the better part of a day, so that's why I sort of took that one day off. All right, Tony, let us know if you got it. You got it. All right, so that's what's going on there. What else? Oh, the usual. I'm taking care of two cats here. Where is, I don't know where Thunder is, man. Thunder's usually hanging around here. I'm taking care of Poncho and Thunder. Thunder was just here, and she split. Poncho is a cat that's known to just jump right up here on the table, and some night you may see just a cat tail go by. That would be Poncho. He owns the place, man. He's get anything that's new, he's just like, okay, well, let me check this shit out. And you're like, dude, you can't, hey, man, I got to look this over. So he's the cat that goes wherever, whenever, and however. Allie says, my heart is with you. Thank you very much, Allie. What did you go through, Allie, with your family? I mean, family is all kinds of shit going on with family, and what happens when one of them gets sick and perhaps even is close to death's door, tell you what, all kinds of shit happens. My father died in 1987. We had all kinds of interpersonal bullshit that was going on then. My brother is now sick, and we've tried to smooth it out. You know, our family's got a little experience with this now, so my sisters and I basically have deferred to my eldest sister, Joanne, to make the decisions. I said, I'll back you up, you know, Marianne and Joanne can work that shit out. Marianne's younger than me. Joanne's older than me. I'm like in the middle, and I just, you know, you guys do. I know they're going to do the best they can, and thank you very much, Christopher. I appreciate it. So you guys are talking about cats. Yeah. Paul, as you guys are drinking mules and stuff, I'm on coffee as usual. Useless information. Yes, it is. Thank you. Now, anyway, why are you drinking coffee, man? Have you got, like, a deal that's... I mean, it's none of my business. It's Friday night, Jack. You know, I gotta do what I gotta do. You know. Sangria. Edward. God, you're a heavy hitter, man. Look at me. I drink tequila, and I'm calling this guy who drinks wine a heavy hitter. Allie, my mother was in ICU for 10 days because of cancer and ended up passing. I'm sorry to hear that. Allie, it was only about a year ago, so we're still going through the emotional adjustment. Yeah. It's so what happens is suddenly everything that you see, everywhere you go, and everything you do that used to have your mom connected to it or your dad connected to it, now they're not there anymore, you know. Living in California, my family, my mom and dad brought the family here from Canada. And so being here in California, the connection to California is them, and it's no longer there. And you're sort of like, okay, well, we're the new generation. We're the Coke generation. And I say Coke with, you know what? Nobody's business but mine. Allie, three cats and four dogs. Our youngest pup got spayed today. She's a bit groggy or needs a bit of sitar music. Yeah. Spayed? Okay, good. No pets here. My work schedule is too crazy to keep pets. Yeah, very good. Diet Pepsi, Colby. Good idea, man. You know, can I tell you guys something? Allie is on her whiskey, which is, we understand that, and Nathan's drinking bourbon. Now, Allie, I know you're into whiskey, which we're going to have to see that in action in Vegas. Oh, yeah. My brother is in Florida, end-stage leukemia. Goddamn, I'm sorry, Leslie. I'm in Portland, so it's difficult. Thinking about it, maybe time for me to get to Florida. Yeah, I would, man. I would. You know, I mean, look, man, I don't want to be talking about death and shit, but this is what's happening with... it ain't happening with my family yet, but... water. Tony's on water. I ran out of calories for drinking tonight. Good man. Good man, Tony. Tony is... serious calorie counter, man. I'm down with that. I am. And I will tell you this, and you probably nothing that you don't know, Tony, you can always burn a few more calories off if you want to get a couple of pops in. Go out and run off about 400 calories, man, and that's two decent Moscow mules. If you think about it, the Moscow, if you get the 100 calorie ginger beer and you have a like 90 calorie shot of whatever the fuck, like tequila, there's, you know, 200 calories right there. Warren is online. And we're happy to have you, Warren. Stephen, why is it that Canada produces the very best of comedians? I had a conversation, Stephen, with... Yesterday, I had a conversation with Mo Collins, who's from Minnesota. And I also talked with Will Sasso about this. And the best thing that we can come up with is the fact that it's cold as shit in the wintertime. Everybody sits on their ass and is either funny or plays music. So that winter... keeping people indoors thing seems to be, key. That having been said, you can also look at places where you're out of doors in the summertime, and that's generally where athletes, like for instance California, California's a good place for baseball players and football players. As far as native-born comics, there's me, and then forget it. No, I don't know. There's probably a few other people. So we're now into death talk, everybody. So I'm shitting, I'm fucking, I'm doing something. Stephen, why is the guy? Warren says, hey there, everybody. I finally got online. Warren, Allie, you will see that in action in Vegas and the good stuff. I'll be on my JMO. Jameson's? You call that good? No, it's very good. Although you may want in time as you mature to get some of that 12-year, single malted stuff. I'm joking around. Out of a sense of self-preservation, I've never gone near Vegas, Edward says. But for HendryCon, oh yeah, you got to go to Vegas to experience it as a journalist. I think everybody should be a journalist. You should go into life as a journalist. Poker tournament would be great, Christopher. I think it would probably exclude a lot of people. It would take time away from people. As we all gather about a poker table. Give you the screen here for a second. My brother just 3 weeks ago had a kidney transplant. Speaking of family, I hope he's doing good. Warren, Bonnie, will there be non-alcoholic beverages available in Vegas? Yes, Bonnie, there will be. Don't you worry about a thing. Allie, I do calories too, so I eat very little and work out a lot. I'm kind of pathetic with not eating because I'm a sipper. What does that mean? Paul, I must lose about 20, 25 pounds by October, my next cruise, and I want to wear a bikini. Very good. Allie is... giving the thumbs up to something here. Wait a minute, Warren. It's actually Denise from Las Vegas, and your name is Warren? Things are getting real fucking weird. Phil, will you and Nuzzy have some holograms of you? Not a bad idea, man. Any other VO peeps part of the group? Okay, we got a VO drinker here. Look at this. All the drunks are just... Not drunks, but all the serious drinkers are here, man. So Warren is in Vegas... otherwise known as Denise. Adam says, with what you are dealing with your brother's condition, would that be reflected in your show or your characters? It actually was. I mean, we did a little something on it with Dean Wheeler talking about health. Yes, you can still go to HendryCon, Leslie. You don't have to drink. You can. There's going to be food, And so you're just a drinker, Allie, is that it? Hey, Phil, always wondered when you are talking on the phone, do you hit a button to mute your main microphone? No, I don't. I'll show you what I have. I don't know if you can see this or not, but I'm going to show you that this is a fader. This is my mic fader here, Sarge, okay? This is the phone fader. Can you see that? You probably, I don't want to fuck the camera up, do I? Anyway.
When I'm on the phone, I'm generally like this. So this phone fader stays up all the time.
I do this back and forth with the microphone fader. So I don't hit a button so much as I manipulate the fader. You heard some room noise because the fan's on, but generally the room is quiet enough, and we also run sound effects underneath it, so it is not as noisy. You can't have a whole lot of noise when you're manipulating the fader like that, when you go in between two sources like that. So we make sure that we mask it with those sound effects. Paul, oh, I thought VO was voiceover. It is. VO is also a drink. James, can we get a couple of bad cover bands at PhilCon? We will have a band. I don't know if it'll be a bad cover band. HendryCon, Warren, or Denise is in the spring of... 2016. I always have fun, even though I don't drink a lot. Oh, good. Oh, you meant voiceover. Okay, sorry. So what was your question concerning the VO, man? Let me see here. I don't know. I did see the letters VO. All right, here. Any other VO peeps out there? Yeah. Is there anybody else who does voiceover in our group? Be awesome. I've met a lot of really cool people, some terrific actors who do voiceover, and, you know, they're just fucking hysterical people, man. Let's see, Colby Jack, well, let's see, 29 Palms. Sheila, Friday's show is hilarious. Margaret singing 29 Palms and Ted and his ice buckets for seniors. Very funny. Thank you very, very much, Sheila. Colby Jack, in case you guys care, that board is a PreSonus Studio Live 16. The board that I have? Yes, you're right. It is a PreSonus. How about that, man? Man, you know your shit. Exactly. And it's a fucking great board. I love this board. It is a masterful, wonderful board with all kinds of marvelous compression and gating and all that shit that I couldn't figure out when we first got it, but I finally did figure it out. Paul, okay, I was right the first time. You're talking about what, Paul Vio and Leslie Great Bunny? Okay, you guys aren't drinkers, so you're talking amongst yourselves. Mike, anything better than a guest calling you from the bathtub? I like using the bathtub sound effect. I just think it's funny as shit for me anyway. I mean, I have fun doing the show most of the time. So, Colby Jack, you do voiceover for a living. Awesome, man. Now, where are you at, man? Tell me a little bit more, because I know you told us the first time. Here's James. Off-topic question. What triggered the idea of coming up with the crazy-ass cop with the laughing siren? I typically listen to your podcast at night as I'm falling asleep, and I remember hearing this weird-ass siren. What triggered that one, man, was simply the immediate inspiration of a cop pulling over Harvey, or maybe it was Vernon, and I didn't have a siren sound effect. So I decided to do it with my voice, and I just went with the idea that the guy was, you know, doing a mouth siren, as we call it. Colby Jack, looks like it. Nice little board. Yes, it is. Warren, oh my God, cannot wait. Warren Hubby is on the road, so it's me typing away. Colby Jack, nice. Always, Colby Jack is saying what? He's saying, always love character stuff, but I'm pigeonholed in the network promo and commercial space. So we got Jesse is also a voiceover guy. Colby Jack and Jesse are both voiceover guys. Phil, save the presets you use. Yes. But there's a thing, man. The presets are only on certain things. I change them for other things. Warren, James, I listen to Phil every night as I'm falling asleep. Love the mouth siren. I'm Ron Burgundy, Jesus, with the question marks. What? Okay. James, I used to listen to Phil every night. Okay. Goddamn, I hope mouth siren cop pulls over Bob in a chopper someday. Yes. Allie, I love Austin. He is Chris Nelson without the being annoying because he has psychological problems. I listen as I'm falling asleep, too. Aw, man, when David dropped the radio in the tub, brilliant. Colby is amazing. Now, what is Colby, where do you live, Colby, and what voiceover do you do? Is that a real phone line you use that goes in your mixer? Yes. So your phone line is always on during the show? Yes. In fact, the phone is always off the hook, and we have a very special rate for the phone line that we use. You're in Oregon, a small town 90 minutes south of Portland. That's right. And you're doing voiceover, Colby, for the Portland market or for national? Adam asks, when I saw the China port explosion, goddamn, is it wrong that I first thought of an imaginary convo between RC and Hong Kong Charlie? No, it's not wrong at all, but was that, have you ever seen an explosion like that in sort of not real time, but so vividly recorded, other than a goddamn nuclear bomb, you know? Allie's whiskey is getting to her. So you are watching here, ladies and gentlemen, for want of a better description. You're watching the Phil Hendry Show BSP chat that happens here every Friday night with all of our backstage pass people. So if you're logged in for whatever reason, you came on down here to this click to chat thing and you're seeing all of these folks talking, it's because we're doing our chat here. And this is what we do every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We are also discussing our HendryCon, possible HendryCon in the spring, and we're also discussing my brother's health, which has not been good, and we've been discussing voiceover careers, talking to Colby Jack here. He's from an area south of Portland, and I think we saw another guy who is in the voiceover business. I just mentioned that, I'm mentioning that now because I had said that I got a new voiceover agent here, AVO. Really great people. We have a writing session scheduled very, very soon because we're continuing to work on a TV pilot or a TV project, I think is a better thing, that we're going to shoot. And we're hopeful that it is funny. Also, there's going to be a premiere party for Drunk History coming up next week that we'll go to. I'll let you guys know how that whole thing went. Maybe I'll Periscope it or something. You know what I had to do? I had to fucking videotape that goddamn party and only put it here on the, that's what I'll do. There was that fertilizer plant in Texas that exploded. I think you had a friend of RC who videotaped it and kept saying, dude, Warren, can you all tell me about, can you explain to us what the origin of phone freaking was, Phil? I don't know what that is, man. I've never used that term in my life, so I don't know what you're talking about, phone freaking. Because, Stephen, you're still a weird guy, man, in my book. There's something going on with you, man. I don't know what it is. But then I'm weird. So that makes the two of us just brothers in arms. AVO is awesome having a bunch of friends there. You have a bunch of friends there, Jesse. Cool. Your place is dry at the moment. Mind FedExing me some of that whiskey. Allie, Jesse, most definitely, and come to HendryCon. Denise, you're asking, what is HendryCon? It's going to be happening in Vegas, and it will be a gathering of the Hendry tribe, basically. You know, a gathering of the Hendry tribe. It'll be a gathering of the of Hendry BSPs and people listen to the show. And what we're going to do is have a free admission for all of our backstage pass people. For people that are just Phil Hendry fans, there'll be a nominal charge, if you will. Whenever I come to Vegas, I buy booze before I go to my hotel. Be careful, Ellie. Whiskey goes straight to your arrest record. Ain't that the truth? Just come over. I will give you unlimited shots. Sheila, are you going to do another episode of Drunk History? You must. How about the Jackson Whites? Well, you know, the Jackson Whites is that I don't call the shots on that show. It's Derek Waters and the rest of the guys, but it would be fun to do another one. It'd be fun to be a narrator again. Phil, please take the party. What's that mean? Please take the party. Colby Jack, I manage a website that is voiceover people and clients that come to find voiceover people. Is that ABC? Is that Voices ABC or 123? I do voiceover for anything from nickel and dime, small market things, a little national, and to a current project, a show that will air on Velocity Channel, a car person's channel owned by Discovery Network, starting in December. Congratulations, man. I hope it's a fucking raging success. Sweet. Warren, and is it wrong that my 13-year-old grandson loves Phil Hendry? He listens daily. It's pretty sick. No, it's not. It's fine. I think it's probably something that will redound favorably. One of my favorite classic bits was the debate between Harvey and RC, talking about George C. Scott. I love the dynamic between between these characters and how these bits, it always led to Harvey showing up at RC's door to kick his ass. Right. That's Harvey, man. No, Phil. Warren, nah, it will. Phil, if you want to take your show to Portland, look into the Aladdin Theater. I think it would be perfect. Very cool. I'm not sure what I was answering, Warren. Colby Jack's question. I asked you something, man, and I don't know what it was. Velocity's a cool network. I haven't seen Velocity, but I definitely have to check that out, man. Well, Warren, yeah, it's going to be great, Warren. It's going to be sweet. It will be filled with amazing sights and sounds. I don't fucking know. I mean, you know what would be great? Here is the ideal HendryCon. Not that we all go to a theater to see the Blue Man Group, but we're in a room and we're partying, and the Blue Man Group comes in and sets up and is the entertainment for the night while people stumble from one table of, like, you know, tacos and enchiladas to another table of tequila to another, you know, urn where you throw up and then just do the cycle again, right? That, to me, is what living is all about. I'm Phil Hendry. No, I think that, frankly, that would be cool. To have a vomitorium? I mean, that's a dream come true. All right. Colby Jack, Jesse, thanks. Like many do, I sort of stumbled into it. Has RC been on lately? Just signed back on. Christopher, no. I'll tell you about RC. The voice.
I'm RC Collins, and this is the voice that I'm able to do right now. And the voice that I originally,
you know, it's not a voice that I've worked on or kept really.
You know, the Margaret voice is all I can dare do,
and that's a tough one to do. So to get RC back into shape would take. I'd have to have something for. If I can rework that character now, I think he's done with the fucking military academy. I think he's done. I think we have to move him on. If I find something of real value for RC to do, I will definitely bring his ass back. And I do mean ass. By the way, just so you know, a lot of you are too young to remember this, but this fucker was awesome, and I've shown it to younger friends of mine, and they just think it's hysterical because it was the first time it had been done, I really truly believe. On Amazon is available all of the episodes of Fractured Flickers. Now, before anybody asks, you know, you can ask what is that? Fractured Flickers was a part of the Rocky and Friends show that aired from 1959 to 1964. That was the original run of Rocky and Bullwinkle. What we now know as Rocky and Bullwinkle. In that show was Sherman and Peabody, Fractured Fairy Tales, Dudley Do-Right, all kinds of magnificent stuff. And every now and again, they had a thing called Fractured Flickers. It was hosted by Hans Conried, very, very funny, where they took old silent movies and they dubbed in the dialogue. Now, today, that seems to be a very... You know, everybody understands what I'm talking about because Woody Allen famously did it with What's Up, Tiger Lily, etc. But back then in the early 60s, I don't think anybody done it. And I used to just pray as a little kid that today's the day Fractured Flickers would be on. Well, I just found this motherfucker on Amazon.com and I ordered it and I got it yesterday. It's funny as hell. You gotta watch it. It's out of the park funny. And I'm telling you, not just to me, but like I said, I've shown it to friends of mine that are like 20, 30 years younger than me who never even fucking saw Rocky and Friends when it first aired. Because I used to watch that when it was out as a first-run cartoon. I mean, that's, you know, I was 10 years old, something like that, 9 years old. Motherfucker is funny as shit. Let me go back to our questions now. I don't know where I am here. Colby Jack Velocity is cool, amazing, thanks. Like many do, I stumbled into it. Denise, okay, cool. Jesse, where did you say you are? Yeah, where are you, Jesse? Allie, I have a question for some of you. As far as gambling goes, what do you guys do? I do craps. Allie, I like video poker. I'm with you, Allie. Roll the bones. I just play the slots, Allie, says Leslie. I vote... Yeah. Is it fair to say that people that just play the slots are, well, elderly? Jesse, if you're on Skype, look me up. Colby Radio. Sweet. I vote Allie to MC Philcon. Yeah, that would be... That's my pick. I love craps, but blackjack is... If you want to know, my favorite game is poker. But I play old school poker. I play 5 stud, 5 draw, 7 stud, all that shit. I would never be able to play poker in today's environment. Fractured Fairy Tales was funny. I'm not talking about that, Tony. I'm talking about Fractured Flickers. Fractured Flickers. Funny as fuck. That's cool, Tony and Leslie. You need to school me when Hendry Khan goes down. Serious underdog. Leslie, slots are where it's at. I do Vegas 3 to 5 times a year, and I'm still up about 2 G's. Yeah, sure. I remember Fractured Fairy Tales. Not Fractured Fairy Tales, Fractured Flickers. What's up, Tiger Lily? One of my faves. Great one, Joey. Hey, what's up, Joey? Anyway, Tony, the old Rocky and Bullwinkle show had a bunch of the fractured things, right. Warren, I like poker, but again, I'm so intimidated at tables that I can't do it. Well, who ain't intimidated? You know, I don't like that about blackjack. Motherfuckers, I don't give a shit what seat I'm in, man. You know? If I'm in the hammer seat and I let you down, fuck you and the horse you rode in on. You know, I'd rather not go through all that shit. Here's Sarge. Why don't you have characters advance for like 20 years like Dave has at L.A. Canyon College for 20 years and R.C. Collins just graduated after 20 years? What's that? I think I know what you mean. I think what you're saying is, why do some characters stay and some characters get older? because some characters are so evidently old that you can't have them live forever. You can't, for instance, if I said that if I identified out of the gate a character like Lloyd as being a Korean War veteran, he is he's got a limited run. Harvey Wireman is a World War II veteran. Yes, he has a limited run, but Harvey has this nature to him that may actually mean that he's, well, immortal. Here is James. Bud and R.C. were always a fun couple to listen to. I remember one bit where you invited R.C. to the bowling alley and Bud kept getting strikes while R.C. attempts to thwart them with farts. I think perhaps some sort of spin-off segment with Bud and R.C. would be an interesting idea. Mike, blackjack feels like the only game you have a fighting chance. Paul, I play the slots at 40, so if that's elderly, get me a cane. No, it's not. James says, well, I cheat fishing wire and magnets. Beautiful. My understanding is that people, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Silicon Valley founders, etc., could get an open telephone line and prank call any number in the world. Is that what you call phone freaking? I don't know. There's all kinds of names. There's a difference between what I did and what that is, or what Crank Yankers was, or any of that shit. We had people call us to make out calls and to fuck with people. That's throwing a banana peel on the sidewalk and having them slip. But what we did was we threw a banana peel on the sidewalk and made sure that they saw that it was there, and then they slipped. And I think that that's a decent way of describing it. Let's talk here to Joey. Your mangling of a piece of paper to convey fighting in the studio is genius. Where did you get the idea from? Joey, I did that to mask to mask the sound between two characters. If you are a character and then I go to another character and you can actually hear my body moving, or you hear the voice maybe fading, you have to mask that. You have to mask it with the ambient change. Otherwise, people hear that and they go, oh. And I think the paper, the rustling, the this, the that, allows people the illusion that there's two people there. You don't always need it. Sometimes, if you can keep quiet enough when you take a breath and move your head, it works. It's a tough thing to do, and it's much, much easier to, I think, use some sort of a sound. It could be anything. Paper, paper's handy. Clinking a glass, anything like that. Mr. Henry, what is today's polar environment? Don't know what that means. About the show, I like how the copter has been running out of gas. Yeah, oh, you mean poker. What's today's poker environment? Today's poker environment is all Texas Hold'em. There's a big blind and a little blind, which means you have essentially three antes. You have the first player to your left is a big blind. The second player is a small blind. The dealer himself has to ante. There's all in. There's the terminology has probably changed. Maybe it's the same fucking game. And it's all Texas Hold'em, man. It's all fucking four up, four down. And, you know, you're running four common cards in the middle. I think it's four. Is it five? Five down. Five up, five down. I don't know. James, Colby Jack, there's also an elderly couple that would fly their plane on vacation. That was Hal and Viola, based upon my ex-in-laws. When all the World War II and Korean vets die, you can have them come back as ghosts. Yeah. Warren, I've searched and searched for a particular show that involved Bobby and Steve stole the neighbor's cat. I've heard it's hilarious. Do you guys know the show where Bobby and Steve stole the neighbor's cat? Can you pinpoint us to a date, to a time, to a... tell us where it is, and we can give Denise there a hand. Tony, holy crap, James, the Spooge Demon opened, one of my all-time greats. Crank Yankers was amazing as well. Crank Yankers was great, but again, Crank Yankers was a crank call show. Call-outs. And I think that's, and I'm being fair when I say, that's a much easier thing to do than actually sucker people into calling you on a bonehead premise. But maybe with today's, basically with today's environment, calling out is good. The other thing is that I have to tell you, everybody is doing goof shit, man. I mean, I read about it, a website called Hustlers, which came up with some bullshit story, and the comment on it by whatever newspaper, USA Today or something, was, oh, it's another one of those joke news sites. So everybody is fucking with everybody. Everybody is so-called pranking, you know? And I just don't know that there's any more ground to be tilled there, or soil to be tilled. The whole thing that went down with Paris Hilton, turns out she was in on it. That's like a double mind fuck. But hey, man, you know, you guys that have been with the Phil Hendry Show for the years that you've been with it, back when we were doing that stuff, you guys have seen it all. I mean, you pretty much, we did it all and you saw it all. I mean, what other new shit can you do other than just sort of build off of that? Back when everybody was taking themselves really fucking seriously, I think the show was a lot of fun. Now everybody's looking to fuck with everybody, and I don't think that kind of a show is all that funny, to be honest with you. Ricky Gervais said something that I really like. He said that the British version of The Office was recorded and it was filmed at a time when there was still embarrassment at having a camera in your face. By the time the American version of The Office came around, everybody was playing to the camera. Every no talent, every amateur, everybody who thinks they're funny and they're not, they're all playing to the camera. So, I don't know, man. I think there's other places to go with comedy now. Let's see. Thank you, sir. You're welcome, Stephen. Whatever it was that I said. Colby Jack, has anyone told Phil how sharp his haircut looks? Thank you so very much. I had to get a cut because I had people telling me that I looked like shit, and they were right. Phil, it might have crossed your mind, but I was hoping you brought up cross balls when you were talking with Matt Besser. It was the first place I ever noticed him, and remember you discussing it. You know, let me say something to you about that. I have really made an effort to change a lot about my fucking personality since those days, because I think that I was pretty arrogant in a lot of ways. Now, Matt doing that show, I think was an obvious thing to do. I think it was obvious to take it to television. I'm not going to have some kind of a hard-on about that when a cat like Matt Besser, who is one of the groundbreaking improv artists of all time, a guy that put UCB up on its feet, a guy that works his ass off in the area of improv, to say, you know, he ripped me off. I think that was wrong of me. I will say this. If what we did had been taken and put on television by really rank amateur motherfuckers, no talents, I mean, let's see, you know, I don't know it off the top of my head who it could be. I would be offended, and to this day, but Matt's a guy that is a real artist, and I think it was a no-brainer to try what we did on television, and to the extent that they did it and were successful or unsuccessful, you know, I'm grateful that they did it, and I think that in a lot of ways, what they did was a television version of what we did, and it was changed a little bit. There's nothing new under the sun. What I don't like, and I don't think anybody likes, is these no-talent motherfuckers that just rip your shit off because they got no fucking ideas at all. And Matt Besser is not one of those guys. He is, like I say, he's one of the great founding artists of modern improv, and that Phil Hendry that made an issue out of that, you know, I think was a guy that could have just, you know, stepped a little bit off with his bullshit self. So I hope that answers your question. And Colby Jack wants me to tell you your haircut looks sharp. Thank you very much. I like Cash Cab, but it's not on TV very much. Mr. Henry, Austin and Ted are kind of similar. Can you do both together at some point? Hello there. Well, Austin Amarca is a little bit like this. Hi there, sexy eyes. Well, okay, there she goes, she's dancing. And Ted Bell is like this. Yeah, there's a big difference. Austin is about the, what he thinks is the spirituality of his whole sex addiction, and Ted is just a scumbag. Not really, Ted's a great guy who's all about making the money. How can you not like a guy like that? What is going on here, man? Why can't I? Oh, here we go. Once a week, I find something new about the show that never fails to slay me. This week, it's Gloria Grover always eating or ordering stereotypical older person food. She'll buy one banana at a time. Yeah, that was something that, or order nothing but a 3-minute egg at a restaurant. Mike, I'll tell you, that's from a real-life event that happened to me in Florida years ago. I was in Miami. I was in the Publix market there in fucking whatever, Hollywood Beach. And there was a lady there. She goes,
my nephew's coming this week. Should I get another banana or just the usual one,
you know? And I thought, I gotta file that one, man. It does. God almighty, I hope that, you know, I hope that if I ever am the kind of a guy who goes, my nephew's coming this week, should I only get one banana, that I'm still enjoying life, you know, that that's going to be just, I hope, well, should I get another banana? I don't know. I hope that's me. Mike says it reminds him of his great aunts. God bless him. Yeah. Yes. The BBC office is so much better. I agree with Ali that it is. And there is a, and what Ricky Gervais said is the reason, I think, and it's a really smart comment. He said, there was a time when we were still embarrassed by people shoving cameras into our faces. We're not embarrassed by that shit anymore. Everybody wants to have the camera in their face. Edward says, agreed, the detail to each character's personality makes everything that much fun. Thank you. Stephen, as always, thank you for a wonderful chat. Thank you very much for saying we are brothers in arms. Nothing on earth can come between brotherhood. Stay strong, Phil. Thank you very much, Stephen. Warren does this sound like it? The Dooley's new cat was lost by Nancy Foster, but Nancy's not allowed to put up posters. All right. I think, Warren, Paul has, and Paul is, as you know, or may not know, Paul is a sort of an unofficial curator, lexicographer. I just made that word up. I don't know. But he does keep track of a lot of the shows. So if Paul says that that may be it, he's probably close. Warren, that was on 127.06. If you want to check it out later in the archives. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Paul. January 27th, 06, the Dooleys are looking or have stolen a cat. Any chance Chris Puté will make a weekend comeback? You know what, dude? Great idea. Great idea. I think he will. I think Chris Puté is back next week. Just remind me, will you please? Let's take a look over here. What's the meaning with Frank Gray's I'm better than Custer? It's actually Custer, James, and I think it's probably self-explanatory at that point. How you doing, Frank? I'm better than Custer, as in General Custer, who is dead. Allie, maybe Austin and Ted are just the same type of guy to me, except I like Ted more, and Austin is legitimately... Yeah, Austin's a fucking sicko. Austin's mentally deranged, hallucinates. He's probably schizophrenic. He uses too many hallucinogenics, and he's all fucked up. How about Rudy? He's a great character. Rudy is a character that I developed after I heard the Castilian accent. You know, the Castilian, they use this, and so I wanted to have Rudy do the Castilian. Well, I gradually lost the Castilian thing, but I still have Rudy, you know, and Rudy allows me to articulate all that foreign language dubbed shit where they, I will tell you now, you look like the cow, but you are not the cow. I am the cow. Of course, I will not do that. You know how that they dubbed that shit really lousy? And that was Rudy for me. Plus, all of that, which came from Scarface when they're poolside early in the movie and he looks at that chick and goes, like that. So I put it all together into that character Rudy, and it worked. And I got Rudy now as a bartender at Ted's. I like that. He's got a piece of the bar. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. Leslie asks, thanks, Paul. I'm going to listen anything. Bobby and Steve has to be funny. No, she didn't ask. She's making a statement. Paul, no worries. If that's not it, not sure otherwise. So Paul isn't all that great, he's saying. I'm fucking around, Paul. Kobe Duck, Phil, what became of the guy who slapped you about, I don't think, that's my, the guy that I knew. A friend of mine, ex-friend of mine. What became of him? He went home, and that was the end of that. What happened in the bar that night was the end of an evening where the alcohol was flowing, but as you may know, in your own personal relationships, there are some people that can't drink. It's just as simple as that. I don't know how else to put it. And they do get rowdy. And I've known this cat my whole life. But for me, and is the case with a lot of us, it was the last fucking straw. So essentially what happened is we all retired to our rooms, and the next day there was another little dust-up. It wasn't even a dust-up. It was basically just another discussion, and that's the end of that. It's a sad thing, man, when you realize that a friend of yours, you know, is so fucked up that you can't really hang with him anymore. And it's doubly sad when you come to that conclusion after a lot of years. I've known the guy since I was 12 fucking years old, you know, so think about that. Excuse me. The foghorn needs a comeback. Yeah? The foghorn does need a comeback. Aha. Put it in the lounge at Ted's. Now you're talking. And Ted can come running over and going, what do you think you're trying to pull? Well, I think that, sound like this.
What do you do with the foghorn?
Hey, Ted, I have to do the foghorn. You don't. You don't want a beast?
Don't talk about them at their beast. These people are paying customers, man. I'm not doing some lingerie shop. Take that foghorn out of here.
I will not have it in my bar.
Your bar? Oh!
You know. Bingo. Give that man a cigar. Right on. Edward, the foghorn needs a comeback. Yes. Here's a comment from Leslie, who says, this is going back years, around 2000 or before. I was listening with my headset on at work, and a man was talking about Southern women having vapors. It was crazy funny. All of a sudden, you could hear a whole bunch of us burst out laughing. Oh, really? I don't know what that would be. Joey, really appreciated you sharing that story with your friend. You got it, Joey. I mean, it's fucked up, man. You know, I'm telling you, dude, life continues to hold surprises. No question at all. Paul, remember when Rudy was singing the la-la from Ashley Simpson? It was a funny Rudy segment. I do not remember that, man. I remember when Ashley Simpson was across the street from Premier Radio. She was signing autographs, and I think we tried to... We wanted to sneak somebody into the line to get a... the foghorn and the gong. The gong was something that David G. Hall introduced to the show. He wanted it to be... I think David wanted the gong... If I started talking about too much Chinese shit because he thought it was, you know, wrong or something, so he'd hit the gong. Mike, the only cure for the vapors was to hold a cold can of soda against your forehead. Is that true? What are the vapors? I have no idea what the vapors are. I remember sort of that segment, but I'm not sure I can tell you anything else about it. I'm so sorry about that. Maybe if the gong, if Hong Kong Charlie comes by Ted's. Yeah, I got to get Hong Kong Charlie going again. We had him in the show on Friday, and I liked that. I liked Hong Kong Charlie driving by Ted's and seeing old people dropped into buckets of ice. So I think Hong Kong Charlie, though, when you get into a character, you know, you get into the character, and you look at the character, and you go, is Hong Kong Charlie the kind of guy who wants to seem like he's Chinese, or does he want to seem American? I think he wants to seem American. He also knows that Americans like Chinese shit, so maybe he'd throw a gong in there just to... Lloyd Bonafide has not been on recently, James, and I'm not so sure that Lloyd will be back. If I bring him back, he's going to have to be much, much different from General Galen Shaw, who's sort of taken over a lot of Lloyd's characteristics. The only thing I was able to do with Lloyd in the aftermath of the introduction of Galen Shaw as he exists now is to make him really, really old and really, really fucking senile. But I'm not too jazzed about that. Allie says, I think Bud gets dumber each time he speaks. It's sad. I'm really rooting for him. No, he ain't dumb. He's just, he's putting it on, Allie. He wants your love and your sympathy. Warren, you love Lloyd? Yeah, well. Allie, Mr. Ender, I wanted to ask you, which character was your first? What was the first character you ever came up with? The first, on the current show, the first character was Raj Fanin. You don't hear Raj too much anymore, but...
Raj was a Middle Eastern man. He spoke like this, and...
I bring him on occasionally, but I get really bored with the Middle Eastern political angle now. Raj was a really good lightning rod for the Middle East shit that was happening, and this was in 1990, in the summer of 1990, when Operation Desert Shield had started, leading up to the Gulf War, and Raj was a perfect foil and bait for... people that were really pissed off about what was happening in the Middle East. And so Raj, come on, and he was apologist, for Saddam Hussein. And I can tell you the voice was up here, so he had a little bit of a Bud Dickman thing going, you know? And that whole Bud voice like this.
There are two characters that had that quality that I pushed out of the voice.
One of them was Steve Bozell. His name used to be, my name is Steve Warnell, and I'm a businessman from Texas.
And I got rid of that. And I did the same thing with Raj Fanin. So the only character now that has that sort of thing. You know, the only character left with that is our good close personal friend, Bud Dickman. Guys, I got to run. I am forever grateful for you and what you bring to our show and what you, you know, bring to us here on our Friday Night Chats. You only deserve a party, and so we are committed to doing that in Vegas. BSPs will be in for fucking free. We'll find out a way to, you know, verify that you're a BSP. It will be in Vegas. It's going to be coming up in the spring, and we're just going to make this motherfucker, excuse my language, work. And again, Ali, don't take all this shit on. Send me your ideas. Love it. Love it. Love it. And I do appreciate it. I do want it. Don't ever think that you're bothering me or anything like that, okay? So from all of us here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and all the stuff that we do here, and for all of you guys out there who work doubly fucking hard, if you wouldn't mind, keep a thought for my brother Dara in your hearts. You know, he's gonna do what he's going to do. He's a good man. I love Dara. And, you know, I think all will be well. My brothers and sisters. All right, have a great weekend. Love you. Can't live without you. This is General Galen Sharp. I'm not done.
No?
Love you. Can't live without you. Okay, General.
Yeah, this is General Galen Sharp. Phil Hendry's a pain in the ass.
Oh, life is bigger.